Cool. So welcome, 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 welcome to another summer episode of Africans Talk Football TV. It's been a minute since we were able to talk to everybody. As you see, it's just me and Salam here tonight. We weren't able to get the full crew, but with Copa America going on and with the Euros going on, we wanted to, get something out for you guys as the Euros, the group stages are done and we're about to get underway with the knockout rounds. And with Copa America just starting off, we have a summer full of football. So I want to say thank you to all of you for tapping in, whether you're live with us right now or you're going to be catching this a little bit later. But before we start there, Salam, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. Can't complain. A lot of soccer football on this summer. Got Euros in the day, and then Copa America at night. So a lot of football. Can't complain. Definitely enjoying the summer action for sure.
Yeah, man, it's honestly been crazy. Euros. I was talking about this with a few of my friends as far as this Euros tournament. It's been exciting to say the least. How would you before we get into, talking about it, how would you compare this Euros to the most recent AFCON? Because I've been talking with some friends as far as which has been the more exciting tournament. And there's always you can lean one way or the other, but I know AFCON was a little bit ago, but as far as the group stages, do you think that it's lived up to what we saw in the AFCON this Euro so far?
Me personally, I think the start of this Euro tournament has not been better than AFCON 100%. I think Gabriel may have said this in our group chat, but a lot of unders are smacking. You know what I'm saying? So that tells me that, which I mean, you could look at it as a good thing. A lot of these teams are evenly matched. But just like, I don't know. I feel like no one looks good. No one looks like that great.
I agree.
In Copa too, not just in the Euros, but AFCON, I felt like the games were a lot more exciting. The teams definitely were a little bit more evenly matched up. Not taking away anything from, these smaller countries in the Euros and what they're doing, but I just feel like I just expect a little bit more from from these European teams. I mean, they say that this is the best tournament. That's not the World Cup, when you compare it to the Copa America and the Asian games. So me personally, I would have to say no. AFCON was definitely better. Even the smaller teams in AFCON, I felt like always gave you a game. Now, the decision making, and obviously, a lot of people like to poke fun about like, wow, only this would happen in AFCON, but yeah, man, I think it was a lot more entertaining. And me personally, at least from the group stage, I expected a little bit more from the Euros.
I would agree, yeah, especially with, the unders smacking. For sure, there have been a lot of 1-0 games, a lot of 1-1, not even a lot of 1-1 draws, but matches that have exceeded 3 goals have been few and far in between. But before we get into the Euros, which is going to probably be the meat and potatoes of this episode, want to talk about the Copa America a little bit. This got underway last week, Friday, I believe. First game with Argentina leading. And Copa, it's funny because these Southern American teams are very technical. They're super, super techie, but I feel like they all know each other very, very well. And it's a lot of it's way more physical. And with US being in the Copa America this year, it was good to see them start off on the right foot, but I want to start with the game that they had today. 2-1 loss to Panama. Balogun opened up the scoring in the first half, and then it seemed like right after that goal they equalized. Fortunately, I was able to see the first half, but not the second half. So I'll let you talk about the second half. But USA, how do they look to you right now? And specifically today, how did they, how do you think we're going to fare in this tournament with Weah getting the red card? Obviously, that was a bonehead mistake, I would say. Just going ahead and punching the guy is obviously a no-no. But, you know, him being one of the guys in Europe, he's one of the leaders, I would say, one of the guys that we look forward to seeing on a daily basis or on a match-to-match basis. And obviously, he won't be there for that third match. But as far as the U.S. today, what were some of the takeaways for you?
I think in spite of the loss, I think that the start of the game told me that USA was the better team, the more threatening team. Obviously, the red card and the decision there by Weah heavily influenced the outcome of the game, and potentially the US's chances of getting out of the group. But today, I don't know. I think it's easy to say this, like when after a loss or after you don't win. But me personally, I didn't agree with a few things from the lineup. One big thing for me, and that for me was not starting Yunus Musah in the midfield. I think we needed that grit, we needed that energy, we needed that fight. And starting someone like, I mean, Tyler Adams is obviously going to play. Weston McKennie has to play. But I don't know. I just feel like in a game like this, Gio Reyna to me is like a luxury player, in the sense of just like he, you know what he's in the game, he's in the team because of what he's going to give you going forward. And I felt like today, especially against an opponent that they know very well, I felt like that was the more disappointing thing, because obviously this is the U.S.'s first time in the Copa America. All the CONCACAF teams have merged with the teams that are traditionally in the Copa America. So traditionally, you know, going up against like some of these newer teams obviously was going to be a little bit of a challenge, but some of these teams that, like, you know, we've seen before, I felt like, you know, we got to take care of business. And obviously the red card was a stupid decision. I actually just saw it right now, and he blatantly swung on him. I don't know why he did that. It's a tough position to be in, especially knowing who you have to play next. You got to play Uruguay. You and I were talking about it earlier. At the moment, they were up 2-0. Palestri scored, and I believe Darwin scored as well too. So looks like they'll be on to the round of 16. So we'll see if, you know, how seriously they take this match. But today was a huge loss, and potentially it could be the end of their tournament if they don't, you know, get a win or I think they'd have to win, correct?
I think we're in second here. Let me check the group. I believe we're in second in our group currently right now. Okay. Yeah, so USA is currently second on goal differential.
On goal differential. Okay. So we can't lose.
We can't lose, right?
We can't lose. But the problem is that Panama plays Bolivia. Right. And so, I mean, if Panama beats Bolivia and if we tie, we're in trouble. So hopefully it doesn't come into that, because me personally, I think that this is probably the most talented U.S. team that we've ever had at our disposal. Balogun scored an incredible goal today. Tim Weah, obviously, when he's on the field, like, we know what he can do. Pulisic on the other side. And then that midfield of McKennie, Musah, and Tyler Adams. I mean, I think that's a solid front six, you know, going into any tournament. So we'll see what happens. Today was a blow, but, I mean, big game against Uruguay. So we'll see how they bounce back from this.
Yeah, I want to talk about Balogun and you know, specifically, because two games, two goals. The U.S. has always had an issue with our striker. You know, we've, in the last 2 to 4 years specifically, we've kind of started to figure it out, I would say, with our midfield. We started to get, you know, a little bit more solid in there, just like you said, with Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, whether you want to put Reyna or Yunus Musah in there. We have real solid guys. You know, they're all young. Most of them are under 25. So they're all real athletes. They're, you know, getting to that prime as far as strength and, you know, just being a football player and kind of figuring it out. Yep. All these guys are playing in Europe now, so they're playing in some of the best leagues in the world. You know, we just saw Pulisic get, you know, man of the year for his team on AC Milan. So a lot of these guys are, you know, filling in their boots in their own respect. But it's always been an issue with our number nine. We've never really had a target man, someone who we could rely on for goals. You know, sometimes you can't always rely on Pulisic when he's playing on the wing because they could double down. But now that we have Wea on the right, Puli coming off the left, and Balogun up front, how do you think that, you know, this front three looks like? For me, I've always thought that our weakest link was our nine. And now with Balogun having two goals in two games, I think we're figuring it out. What about you?
100%. I think, like I said earlier, I don't mean for this to be like recency bias, but this is easily the most talented front three we've had on paper. I mean, like you said, our nine traditionally was usually like one of the weaker points. But now I look at that front three, and I mean, you could argue he's probably the at least the second most influential person. I mean, they're all good at what they do. But we just got to keep them healthy and we just got to keep them together. But because those three are very talented, very compatible. And I think that, you know, like with time, I think that, you know, we'll see a little bit more chemistry and they should be able to develop as individuals and as, you know, a collective and help move this team forward in an attacking sense. But I think Balogun being here is a huge plus for us. Ever since he declared for the U.S., obviously everybody knew that, like, you know, this is probably the best striker on paper that we've had. But I mean, we could sit here and argue. For me, the best U.S. national league team striker in my eyes is easily Eddie Johnson. That's just my opinion. But we've had a few, Edson Buttle. We've had, you know, but, you know, even some of these newer guys, like, I'm sorry, but like I saw last week, I saw Ricardo Pepi play. And then it was like right after it was like Darwin Nunez played. And I was just sitting there thinking like, wow, I don't know who had more of a wow performance like that. And not like in a good way. I don't know, man. At the moment, the only like clear nine that I see on this team is Balogun.
I'd agree.
And as far as like left wingers go, it's Pulisic, Tim Wea. I mean, you could probably put Gio Reyna there, but we need those guys to be healthy because if they're not healthy, then, you know, it's a big void to fill. So it's interesting to see how they fill the void of Tim Wea because he's incredible too. But hopefully Gio Reyna can step up and do that role. But low key, man, wanted to shout out Matt Turner too, man. I think he hurt his shoulder on the one play that the guy collided with him. And then he had to come off and Ethan Horvath came on and finished the game. But he's going to be I don't know. I think he's our best keeper, but you know,
he has some deficiencies in his game.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's crazy, bro. Like, what happened to Zach Steffen, bro? Like, you're not even on the team, bro. Like, I don't know, man. But we'll see. And shout out Miles Robinson too, man. Not Miles Robinson. Miles. Shout out Miles Robinson too, since he can't. But shout out, yeah, Anthony. Is it Anthony or Antoine? I don't know. The left back, definitely our best defender on the him and Tim Ream, the best defenders on the team.
Yeah, I think this, like, I would agree with you. This is definitely our most talented squad. And I mean, I was saying this even at the World Cup. I think this is a team that we have to grow with. And, you know, World Cup, they were all very young. They got that get out of the group stage under their belt. You know, they unfortunately ran into a very strong Netherlands team in the round of 16 and weren't able to go forward. But, you know, these are that's where you kind of earn your stripes for me. And now looking at them, in this Copa America, where they do have to go up against some of these physical Southern American teams, I think this is another test to kind of see where they are. Just like you said, Uruguay is strong. They're right now currently beating Bolivia 2-0. You know, if you look at their roster, they got some ballers, you know. So
yeah,
it's going to be very, very interesting to see this third group stage game.
Question for you, though. So obviously, I mean, we'll see how the tournament goes. But, you know, if the U.S. don't make it out, the person that's going to get the, you know, the blame is probably Berhalter. So, like, what do you think would be – like, what would the team need to do in order for him to, I guess, stay in his role as manager? Because some people are saying that, like, if he doesn't reach, you know, XYZ, then he's going to be out. So what is that for you?
So I don't know, man. I mean, I look at this team, and, I mean, we've been saying it. This is our most talented squad. And yeah. – And I don't know. I feel like we need someone to get us over the hump. Because even when I look back to that Netherlands game, I believe we lost 3-1, but that third goal came in, you know, the dying minutes, maybe like, you know, in the last 10 minutes of the match, 5 minutes of the match.
Yeah.
For a good portion of that, you know, it was 2-1. And we had chances to score. You know, Haji Wright, I believe, had a chance late in the match. And I think we're almost there, but we need a manager to get us over the hump. And I don't even think it's tactics wise. It's just one of those things where you need a manager to get over the hump. And I don't know what would Berhalter have to do. It's kind of like when we look at this England team, like, you know, what does Southgate have to do? Because
it's
totally different for sure, but it's the same in that. Very, very talented team. I mean, you've seen them go to finals of the Euros, the last Euros, semis this past World Cup. But now they're kind of trending backwards. You kind of look at, you know, we'll talk about Euros in a second, but you kind of look at what that English team is doing, and they're kind of tapering off. And when I look at this U.S. team, I feel like we kind of have the same similarities where we have the talent. We have the guys. We finally have the players. But sometimes you just see certain mistakes on the pitch. And, you know, it goes back to how you train. It goes back to your manager. It goes back to, you know, are we really set up to play the best against the opponents that we have? And so for me, I don't know necessarily exactly what we need, but I think we need a more seasoned guy, someone that's, you know, gone far in these international tournaments, someone that has, you know, the pedigree that people want to listen to him and actually learn from him. Because sometimes on the pitch, when you look at the U.S. play, it's kind of like we're kind of relying on these guys just to use their talent in order to beat some of these lesser teams.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, we should be pummeling some of these guys. You know, like some of these teams we look at, you know, even in the Confederations Cup, this, that, and the third, we should be beating these teams, some of these 3-0, 4-0, and it's just not all the way there yet. So, I mean, it's kind of like a lackluster answer, but I don't really have a specific thing that Berhalter needs to do, but I just don't know if necessarily he has what it takes to get us to that next level. You know, I look at this Uruguay team, you know, they just appointed Bielsa, who's been all over the world. And when I look at them play, I'm like, okay, these guys, they know who they are. There's some sort of gusto to them. They're just attacking the ball. They kind of have that confidence to go. And so I think it's just one of those things. We need a manager to kind of give us that confidence to let us know we are who we think we are.
Facts.
But, yeah, I mean, the U.S. is the U.S. is in a good spot. It's just I would love to see us get far in some of these international tournaments. But before we go over to the Euros, I kind of wanted to piggyback on something that you said earlier. You're kind of saying that there's no real, like, I don't know if we said this on camera or if it was before we started recording, but you were like, a lot of these top teams don't look like top teams right now. You know, we look at Brazil, they're kind of looking lackluster. Argentina's been able to get it done, but, you know, Gabriel and I watched that full Chile match. And unfortunately, you know, they defended well for 86 minutes, 87 minutes. And, you know, it just took one little corner to ruin their, you know, their almost victory lap. You know what I mean? And so Argentina has had their struggles. We've seen Brazil with their struggles. What do you think is going on so far with these guys?
I mean, obviously every case is different for every team, every country. But for me, man, I think the only teams, I think from both competitions that I'm like, wow, okay, like they look good. Obviously Argentina, I think that they just have this energy and aura about them right now that like they're in every game. These guys, I mean, obviously Messi's like, you know, he's even like where he is at right now in his career, he still finds moments to affect the game. And his teammates, like, they fight for him, man. Like, they run for him. They really, like, adore him. And, like, they wanted to, like, kind of do this for him. So, like, that team is the only team in the Copa where I'm like, okay, like, they kind of have it together. Everyone else in Copa, I mean, the only team that I'm really expecting much from is Brazil. But, I mean, we talked about this in our group chat a lot. I mean, this Brazil team is just not – what we're accustomed to seeing in previous years, because I mean, you look at some of these guys, and no disrespect to them, but it's maybe we were just spoiled, you know, to have guys like Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Rivaldo, Robinho, you know, Kaká, all these guys, Cafu, Roberto Carlos, all on one team, and now it's like you're looking around, and it's. You have some guys like, you know, I think guys like Marquinhos, I think guys like Militao, but then, you know, Vinny, obviously, Rodrigo, but it's like, I don't know, like you're at, I don't know. It just seems as if like, first, like the midfield is just kind of just not where it needs to be. Their attack is just not where it needs to be. I think, It seems as if I think teams, and we'll talk about England, but like I think teams look at what Real Madrid do, and you know Ancelotti just I'm sure that they have like a strategy, but like Ancelotti seems very like laid back and loose with his instructions. It seems as if he like lets the players kind of just take the initiative on like managing the moments of the games. Obviously he does his thing, but I don't know, man. Like, you're just letting Vinicius and Rodrigo just run around up top. Like, you know, and then I love Danilo. You've had a fantastic career, but you're still playing. I mean, like, that's just kind of crazy. But not just on them, but France, too. France in the Euros, one of the best teams in the world. Went to the last World Cup final. Won the previous World Cup. For whatever reason, I mean, Mbappe missed one game, so we can't really blame, you know, his absence as like really a problem. But I really couldn't put my finger on exactly what it is. All I know is that I don't know. Maybe everyone got better, or maybe, you know, some of these guys are kind of, you know, kind of coming to the twilight of their careers. But who knows, man? The only teams that I would say look good from the Euros, I would say Spain, Germany. You know, I like Turkey. I like Turkey.
They got something there, man.
Yeah, I like Turkey. They're low key like one of my dark horses, but. I mean, I think those are the only teams. I think did Germany lose a game? I know they made it through early, but
I believe they won all three.
Okay, well then
they won all three.
I mean, they got home field advantage too. So you know,
they drew against Switzerland.
That's what I thought. So I mean, they've been them and Spain to me have been the best teams in the tournament so far, but. I mean, we'll see. I think with the knockout rounds, it's just one game. So I think we're really going to start seeing what some of these teams have. And if some of these more experienced teams can kind of kick on, because I don't know, at the beginning of the tournament and the Euros, everyone was saying that like France has like a clear run at it.
Yeah.
You know, like a very clear run. So like, you know, obviously that's not the case here, but Portugal too. Portugal has looked good. Mm-hmm. I know they lost their last game 2-0, but Portugal has also looked good. From what I understand, though, from how the seeding has worked, a lot of the good teams are kind of stacked on like one side. Yeah. So we'll see who comes out. But for whatever reason.
Yeah, might as well just hop into the Euros. You know, what I want to do is kind of just go day by day, talk about those teams specifically, and then kind of give our predictions on what we think is going to happen. So Saturday, we start with the knockout stage of the European Championship. The first game we have is Switzerland versus Italy, rounding up at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this Swiss team and let's talk about this Italy team a little bit. Switzerland, you know, honestly, Switzerland looked good. I know they had two downs in their group, but for the most part, they looked solid. Let's go to the Switzerland. They beat Hungary 3-1 to open up their campaign. There was a 1-1 draw against Scotland, and they also had the 1-1 draw against Germany with Füllkrug scoring that 92nd minute, you know, equalizer. But for the most part, they were able to control, you know, a lot of the matches they were in, especially the Hungary match that they won 3-1. How do you feel about this Swiss team?
I like them. It's another team that has really surprised me this tournament. You know, I'm always intrigued by watching some of these teams that have players that we're kind of accustomed to watching. A player like Granit Xhaka, for example. I think that he's been great. Not just him, but I feel like Mbolo has been playing for them for a minute.
He's only 27 too, which is crazy.
They also have another guy though who Quadio Dua. They have like this young guy who's also been solid for them as well too, but I mean, you look at this team, Fabian Scher, Akanji, you know, Sommer in the back, Ricardo Rodriguez. They got some players, man. I'm sorry. I'm talking about Dan Ndoye from Bologna. Yeah, Ndoye. He's pretty solid. Not Dua. Shout out to Dua, but not you, bro. It's Ndoye for sure. But no, I like the Swiss team. I actually think that they're going to advance from this fixture, because I just don't see much from Italy. But very impressed with Switzerland. And as far I think that they did well the last Euros too, right? They made it out the group.
Yeah, they made it out their group. I believe 2 Euros ago they won. Yeah, 2 Euros ago they won.
Yeah,
last Euros,
or was it Denmark? It was I think it was Denmark.
Denmark made it to the semis.
Yeah, because Denmark beat France.
Yeah,
yeah. No, but I'm pretty sure Switzerland did well.
Yeah, Switzerland. I feel like for the most part, they get out of their group. They're one of those teams that, you know, you always have to watch out for. You know that Shaqiri is gonna have a banger. At some point in this tournament, he's already had his in the group stage. But yeah, Switzerland versus Italy. Italy was a little lackluster to me. You know, they had a little bit of a difficult group. Started off by winning 2-1 against Albania. Then they lost to Spain 1-0. And then were able to equalize in the dire minutes against Croatia. Give Croatia some heartbreak. But I don't know. When I look at this Italian team, there's no real guy there that I think takes them over the edge. And when I look at this, you know, the Swiss team, Akanji has been probably one of the better defenders thus far this whole Euros. I mean, he's played so well that I feel like the rest of their team feels that confidence. You know, whenever your spine is good, Gabriel talks about the spine a lot. You know, your goalie, your center mids, your central defenders, and then your striker. Whenever you have a strong spine, I feel like the rest of the team kind of reverberates off that. And the way Akanji's been playing, and then when you go and look at Granit Xhaka up there, and then Mbolo, who's been a nuisance up top, they really have a strong spine. And so for me, when I look at Switzerland versus Italy, I kind of have Swiss winning that match, to be honest.
Yeah, me too, man. Like you said, I just don't see much from this Italian team. Coincidence. It's funny. The last time that they played, these two teams played each other was actually in the last Euros. And Italy won 3-0. But that's not the same team as they have now. And I think that they'll defend well. Italians are always known for defending well, but I'm just looking at like, where are you guys going to get goals? I mean, you don't really have like, you know, source of goals. I mean, guys like Insigne is not even on this team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you have, I think Chiesa's had moments of like, you know, flashes of like, okay, like, you know, post injury, I still got it. Scamacca, I just, you just continue to show what you showed at West Ham at the beginning of the season last year, which was nothing. And then, yeah, I mean, everybody else. It's funny. I think about the Italian team, and the first person I think of is that the young center back with the guy with the long hair, Calafiori.
Oh, Calafiori, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only person I think about. Which is, you know, Italians used to have some strikers, man.
Yeah. It's some real guys. Guys up top. But, yeah, so Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard, Switzerland, Italy. I got the Swiss going through for sure. Same. Not for sure, but I have the Swiss. I'm leaning heavy on the Swiss there. The second match that day is going to be the home country, Germany versus Denmark. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Germany, man, they've looked very, very strong thus far. When I look at this German team, they have the home field advantage. Started off with a very, very crazy 5-1 match against Scotland to open up this Euros. 2-0 against Hungary, and then that, you know, Swiss match ended up being 1-1 where Füllkrug was able to get the equalizer late. But this is probably why I look at the Swiss team and I say, you know, when you're able to almost beat a German team that's been very, very strong thus far in the Euros,
yeah,
I gotta hold some weight to that. But Germany right now, everything's firing. Jamal Musiala he's looking like a nuisance there. Florian Wirtz, baller outside on the left as well. So when I look at their outside with Wirtz and Musiala, it's gonna be tough for any defense to try to contain those two. And then Havertz is doing his thing. So far, he has a goal and assist. You know, he's not your traditional striker. He's not your traditional number nine. I know he played there for Arsenal all year, but, you know, when you have that sort of talent and then you have Gundo, Wirtz, and Musiala kind of behind him to give him to give him the balls to feed him in, it's going to be hard for any defense to kind of lock them two down. How do you feel about Germany so far?
Nah, most definitely the best team in the tournament for me so far. Definitely shout out to Musiala. I believe that he's been the player of the tournament so far. Definitely has a case for that. Florian Wirtz has continued to show what he's shown all season, which is that he's a top player, and that, you know, a lot of these bigger clubs are probably going to be in for him. Here soon. Both him and Musiala, I mean, you bench Sané. You got Sané coming off the bench, you know what I'm saying? Which is not saying much for me anymore. But, you know, I think it just says a lot about them. And like you said, Havertz is not your traditional nine, but I think he gets the job done. And I think that he's getting his goals too. So you got to give him credit as well too. But for me, I think the biggest, you know, plus or addition for Germany has been the return of Toni Kroos. I mean, I think that that's like doesn't get mentioned enough. I think that his presence alone, his leadership, his experience, he just seems like locked in. He just seems hungry. I saw this video actually on Instagram. It was like this little like clip of saying like of just showing like how kind of, you know, intense and emotional and how just focused he was throughout the La Liga season, because I guess he knew it was going to be his last season. So like he's really had like a really, you know, a great year. And, you know, I don't know what's going to come out of this, but if he wins the Euros, I think that he has to be in that Ballon d'Or conversation.
I agree.
So
I agree. And to kind of piggyback off that, you know, you were talking about Argentina and his, you know, team, that team kind of rallying around Messi. You know, with this being Toni Kroos's farewell tour, yeah. I feel the same for Germany. I mean, they're the host country first and foremost, so they have the fans. This team has looked good through, you know, the group stages, and Toni Kroos is just playing at a crazy elite level. You know what I mean? It's so good to see him back with this German team. And, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, last when he wasn't there, you kind of saw what happened to that German team. They kind of crumbled. And now they have, you know, someone they could rally around. They have someone who's a boss in the midfield. His IQ is crazy. What he's able to do on and off the pitch is just, I mean, it goes to show why Germany is the way they are right now. It's going to be hard for Denmark, I feel like, to keep up with them.
Yeah. You know,
through their three matches in the group stage, they had three draws. So Eriksen has been playing well. You know, believe it or not, Eriksen's actually been showing up this tournament, I believe. I just don't think they have the squad to compete with Germany.
Yeah, shout out to Eriksen, man, especially considering what happened the last Euros, and for him to come back and, you know, to get that goal is definitely it's a win for football, definitely. And shout out to him. Shout out to Rasmus. Less than two shots on goal all tournament.
I was going to say, what's up with your boy?
I don't know, bro. I just don't even think it's like all the way him, though. I just think that it's just like, I think for club and country, it's just, he just doesn't get like service. He just doesn't, you know, because for me, with him, it's not like he's getting these Lukaku chances and he keeps hitting it at the goalie.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're not having those conversations. We're saying like it's been three games, not even one shot on target. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, I don't know. At some point, you got to look around and see what's going on. But yeah, I think beating Germany is going to be a tough task for this Denmark team.
I agree. So that's going to be our Saturday slate. 12, Switzerland versus Italy, and then 3, Germany versus Denmark. Again, those are Eastern Standard Times because we're here in the U.S. But Sunday. This is the day I'm looking forward to, at least initially, because on a 12 o'clock slate, we have England versus Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking a little bit about this English team earlier in the pod, and they're lackluster, man. I don't know what's going on with Southgate, but I don't want to say he's necessarily getting the lineups wrong, but, you know, because there's so much talent on that English team, you kind of have to start the guys that he's been starting. Don't get me wrong. But for whatever reason, there's just not enough creativity up top. You know, Saka and Foden kind of are looking not like themselves. I don't want to say they're putting up stinkers, but
they don't look good.
They not hooping like they usually been hooping. You know what I mean? And when I look at the Slovakia team, they kind of had a gritty group stage. You know, they had the 1-0 win against Belgium to start it off, which everyone kind of didn't expect. You know, the early goal in the 7th minute, and then just defended very, very well. They lost to Ukraine, which was, it was kind of a little offsetting because no one really expected Ukraine to win that match. And then they were able to draw against Romania to go ahead and get through their group. But I kind of want to talk about this English team, man. What do you think is going on with them? And do you think Southgate kind of has to, what do I want to say? Do you think he has to gamble a little bit with his lineup and maybe put in some guys that maybe normally wouldn't get the start? Or do you think he kind of needs to say, all right, obviously it's been 45 minutes, it's been 55 minutes. We're struggling to get a goal in. We're struggling to be creative up top. Let's put in some of these guys like Cole Palmer, like Kobbie Mainoo, like Anthony Gordon, because there are some killers on the bench. We haven't really seen Eze get a real run at it. You know, they have some guys that could potentially do something for them, but we're playing the same old, you know?
Yeah. 100% to your point, I think that there needs to be a little bit of courage of taking some of these more, you know, veteran guys out, especially if they're not really doing well. But I think a lot of it also too is just you got to coach better, man. Like you, when I watch this team, look at what Saka does for his club. Look at what Foden does for his club. They both come, both of their respective clubs play fairly similar styles for the most part, mm-hmm. right? And both of these players are ineffective. For me, I think what it looks like is just it's a collection of players, and he's just like, figure it out with your guys' talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, Saka, you do what you do in your system in Arsenal. Like, Foden, you do what you do in your system. Harry Kane, you just run around everywhere, and you pick up the ball from everywhere, and you just, you know, you kick the ball 60 yards, switch the field, and then slowly join the attack. Jude Bellingham, just like what I was saying earlier with the Brazil team, like with the attackers, it's just kind of like he doesn't really have any instruction. It's just kind of like, just do what you do for Real Madrid. Like that works for Real Madrid. You know what I'm saying? Because of the players that they have, like he hasn't looked good, but I also just think that at the beginning of the, I mean, look at the goal that he scored. You know what I'm saying? Like during the first game, I think from all of the center attacking mids that England has, he's probably the only one that's physically strong enough to even put himself in that position to even get that type of opportunity. But I just think a lot of these guys really just don't know what they're doing. And it's very evident because you can see after England scored the first goal versus who did they play the first game? Who was that? Was it Denmark?
No, it was Serbia.
As soon as they got the goal versus Serbia, it was like, oh, we just have to defend. Like,
yeah,
it was like watching United. It was just like, I was like, holy, like, bro, like, we, like, y'all, not we, y'all have, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this abundance of talent. And it's like, you know, I don't think that it's a coincidence. I think that the players are instructed to play a certain way, very conservative. I mean, I guess on the flip side of the argument, a lot of people do credit Southgate for that, because at the end of the day, especially in these cup competitions, it's not about how you get there. It's just about getting there. And I think, you know, a lot of people obviously say Southgate probably, like, you know, you're either on either side of the fence. You're either, yeah, Southgate is a really good manager and he's brought the vibes back and he's getting us far in tournaments, or it's he's holding these players back and, you know, he's very limited on what he could do. He's taken them as far as he can take them. Mm-hmm. But with the abundance of talent,
What do you think? Personally, what do you think?
I think he should be gone. But me personally, I think that will take care of itself after this tournament. It should. Because if he – I mean, think about it. The trajectory. If we go all the way back to the 2014 World Cup. No, I'm sorry. 18 World Cup.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was that third place finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But even that team was like, you had Kane was on that team, but you had like Lingard on that team. You had a few guys that were like kind of on their way out. And then you fast forward and it's like, all right, we're starting to kind of get our guys now. Some of them are in their primes. In the Euros, we get to a final. We lose the final. Okay, that's a part of the process. You know what I'm saying? And then you get to this past World Cup. What happened? You lost to a really good France team. Okay. And then we're back at square one. You know what I'm saying? At the Euros. So, like, I think if he doesn't win, like, I don't see how they extend him because his contract runs out at the end of December. I don't see how they get further than where they are with this guy. I would even, like, give what's the Newcastle coach's name? Like, give him a chance. Eddie Howe or somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But I just look at England's player.
Crazy shout. I don't know why you said it.
I mean, he's just the only because you know they're going to try and keep it English.
Yeah, no, they'll for sure. There's way too many English guys for them to go outside the country. But
when you think about, like, I only brought him up just because he's the only one that's like, okay, like, your brand of football is actually like, you know, y'all actually play and y'all look decent. You don't have the players that England has. Are you kidding me? Look at the players that England have. Like, you know, why are we bringing eight defenders every time? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, bro, like,
one of them, left back, who's Luke Shaw, who's not even playing.
and this may be a hot take, but I think I've kind of come to this conclusion, but I think that Cole Palmer and Kobe Mainoo need to be in the team. And that may be at the expense of, well, Saka. Trent. No, I think Saka has to go to left back, man. He's the only person. He's the only person that can.
Ian Wright.
I'm telling you, no, Wrighty. I'm with Wrighty on this one, man. I really think. But it doesn't fit.
Like, he was 17.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that, like,
years.
What I'm saying is like, there's nobody else on this team that can, like, do a job from that position. Like, Trippier's not doing a job from that position. You know what I'm saying? That dude has to cut in every time to get it back on his right foot. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not a naturally left-sided, left-footed player. And to be very honest with you, Cole Palmer has looked like brilliant, like, every time that he's come on. So, like, he's really, like, kind of grown on me. Pause. Just like how, like, he's the real deal. He's the real deal. I think Kobe Mainoo came on and made an impact when he came on.
I agree. I think they both did. I think both,
yeah,
Kobe and Cole, when they came on.
Yeah,
you started to see the ball more in the attacking third for England. And you started to see a lot more potential chances. I wouldn't even call them half chances because they didn't really get too many. But you saw the ball being played more in their attacking third. And, you know, and give them more of a run. For me, I feel like, and I was reading something today that said, you know, Cole Palmer, although he's young and although this is his first time, like, being on a first team and starting and getting the minutes that he should be. He was one of the only players on that England team that really had to kind of force the issue. You know, I'm a Chelsea fan. We had to rely on him. You know, what's his name? Our manager said, this isn't Cole Palmer FC. And then he goes out for one match and we get pummeled by four goals.
Yeah.
So it's clear that it was Cole Palmer FC, at least this past year. And for a kid like him to have the responsibility to have 40 plus GA in his first real season starting, he understands that sometimes you need to do, he has that mentality like, okay, I have to go win this game, or okay, I have to go make something happen. And I feel like if you give him more of a run, give Mainoo more of a run, we might start to see some.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if you're not going to, like, you being Southgate, if you're not going to coach, then put someone on who's been coached by, like, probably the best manager of this generation. You know, like, he, even for you guys, I see it. Like, he's coaching on the field. He's telling them, and he's kind of like, he kind of throws his hands up in the air when you're not making the run that you're supposed to make. So that tells me that, like, that guy can see the game at a different, like, you know, layer and, like, level than some of these other guys, because, and it's not a coincidence, to your point, like, the ball retention was better when those two were on. Why? Because, I mean, they're just better footballers with better minds. And, you know, I think, but, you know, the manager will take care of itself. I can't wait to see another exit. I don't see them getting to the quarterfinals. Well, no, if they win here, they would get into the quarterfinals.
They get to the quarters, yeah.
I think the quarters will be it. Because if they, listen, bro,
they're on the weaker side of the bracket.
They play,
you know, on paper, they have an easy chance to
make the quarters. But my thing is who do they play now? They play who?
They play Slovakia.
If they play, if they score against Slovakia, we know exactly what they're going to do right after, which is defend. They're going to sit, and you're going to absorb pressure. And in a competition like that, you know,
anything can happen, man.
Yeah, bro. So underwhelming, but you know, it's what we expected.
Yeah. So also on Sunday, we see Spain versus Georgia. Spain, you know, three matches in the group stage, three wins, 3-0 against Croatia to open up their campaign. They beat Italy 1-0 on an own goal. You know, Italy kind of looked good that game, to be honest. You know, Spain definitely controlled the match, but, you know, sometimes – and I want to talk about that too. So many own goals through the group stages. I believe we had like 8 or 9, which has been unreal. And then Torres was able to get his goal against Albania to finish out their group stage with 3 wins in 3 matches. Georgia, you know, it came down to the very, very last day for them. They had to beat Portugal. They were able to beat Portugal 2-0. Shout out Kvaratskhelia, was his name? Kvicha?
Yeah.
Baller. Very, very good, you know, Napoli talent. And, you know, they lost 3-1 to Turkey, were able to draw against Czechia. Czechia, yep. I'm not exactly sure. The old Czech Republic.
Yeah.
But, you know, for this Georgia team, I just want to say shout out to them. Currently ranked 74th in the world. This is their first major tournament. For them to get out of the group stages in their first major tournament, hats off to them, because that's just massive. Especially when you're going into your final match and you have to beat Portugal, who's, you know, one of the best teams in the world right now.
Yeah.
I would say probably the best, second best roster, if we're looking at just on paper right now in the Euros. And obviously it was the B team, because Portugal had won their first two matches, so they were already through. But I, you know, shout out to them. But I say all that to say Spain probably gonna take this one.
Oh yeah, for sure. The Georgia have done really well. Kvaratskhelia, he played really well against Portugal. Definitely is. He's trying to get a move, for sure. This summer, which it looks like he probably will. But they're another team who's had like a really good run this tournament. I mean, their first time ever. Then for him to, I remember me texting into the group. I was like, bro, I don't even know one single player like on this team. And then I went to the app to go look at the lineup, and I was like, oh damn, like, he's here. So I was like, but you know, he's the type of player that, like, you know, he's the type of player that could like will a country to like doing something. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like him. It'd be like the Lewandowski's, the like, don't worry, I got it. And you gotta give them credit, but unfortunately they come up against a really good Spain team. Probably the most complete team in my opinion. I think that they're so well balanced. I think that in the back, they look solid. I have to give credit to some of these guys, because to be very honest with you, bro, when I looked at their back four, I was like, Cucurella and like Nacho Fernandez, and Danny Carvajal, I was like, wow, you know, I've seen a lot better back lines than that. So you got to give them credit. Defensively, they've been sound. Their midfield, Rodri, Pedri, and Ruiz, they've been solid. And then their front three, man, it's like really well balanced. You got two young, up-and-coming, exciting wingers in Yamal and Williams. And then Morata for Spain, man, has always been solid. So, yeah, they definitely have a really well-balanced team. They can hurt you in a lot of different ways. They've definitely come a long way since
tiki-taka of the mid-2010s.
Yeah, they don't really play like that anymore. But, you know, I think most definitely they got something brewing here, and definitely have bounced back for what's been a few poor tournaments for Spain, I feel like, the past few years. So most definitely.
Yeah, I would agree. And then shout out to Georgia's their other guy up top. I don't want to butcher his name, but Georges Mikatadze. No, I know I'm saying that wrong, but he's currently leading the Golden Boot in the Euros right now. He's got 3 goals, 1 assist.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he scored in all of their matches. He's their guy. I mean, he's been able to will them clearly to, like, yeah. him and Kvar. Those two were leading the charge. And so, like I said, shout out to Georgia. I think it's a real tall task for them to take on this Spanish team, because this Spanish team is just going crazy right now. But I saw something funny about that Spanish team. So Yamal technically isn't able to play past, I think, like 10 p.m. or something, like 9 p.m. because of German
curfew. It's like,
not curfew, but it's like child labor laws. You know, he's only 16. Damn. So if you're under 18, they don't allow you to work at a certain time.
He don't play the first half.
Yeah, a lot of these games are late. So they're talking about Spain maybe being fined, which I thought was crazy. You know, you can't even get that lifted for a tournament. Like,
yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
I think it's kind of crazy, but I saw something about that the other day on one of these sites, and I was like, interesting. I wonder if they actually go through with it. But yeah, you know, shout out Yamal, man. He's one of those guys that's going to be very, very fun to watch for a very long time. And, you know, kind of like what you were saying earlier, they've come a long way from that tiki-taka football of the Iniestas, Xavis, you know, way back when, you know, Spain was on their dominance run in the mid-2010s when they won the Euros and the World Cup. But, you know, they have a lot of young guys who are able to run. They have a lot of athletic guys. They have a lot of technical guys. When you even look at the Pedris, when you look at, you know, some of these guys that they have. So it's fun to watch this Spanish team now, because it's definitely a new generation. It's a new crop. But they have some ballers. They have some real ballers. So the Spanish team is going to be fun to watch for a while. Heading into Monday, first game is France versus Belgium.
Wow.
I think that's going to be a very, very interesting matchup.
For sure.
I mean, we talked about this French team. They were able to beat Austria on an own goal, you know, and then their second match was 0-0 against the Netherlands. And then finally, Kylian Mbappe opens up his goal scoring in the Euros. Finally got his first goal, which was off of a penalty. It was a clear pen. But then Lewandowski was able to get a pen on his own. And, you know, shout out to Lua, man. He's never been able to do it for his country, but he always somehow gets on the score sheet. But yeah. But yeah, man, this French team, you know, they almost were in the round of 16 with no goal scored from a French player until Mbappe got the penalty on the third match. Let's talk about it. I mean, they have such a high powered offense, but for some reason they kind of looked a little lackluster. What do you think it is?
I don't know, man. That's another team where, you know, on paper, they didn't really lose anybody. If anything, they gained a lot more pieces. Like, N'Golo Kanté wasn't really a part of this team last time. Mm-hmm. He's come back and looked great. And I don't know. It's disappointing, you know, like even in the back, you know, you like Saliba's now starting, you know, we all thought Saliba probably, you know, like this is the appropriate time for to start him definitely. And, you know, this team on paper, you would have thought like going into this here, like they would have kind of maintained or kind of taken that next step up. So the fact that they haven't isn't, is concerning for sure. All that I know is that they can't lose to Belgium. Like you can't lose to Belgium. You have too much to beat them. I know it's tough because they have Kevin De Bruyne, but I guess that's why you have N'Golo Kanté. You know, because I think it would be a massive disappointment if Belgium pulled off an upset, 100%. I think it'd be a big upset if they beat France and knocked them off. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised considering like their form, but in the group stage. But the one thing that I will say though is, I feel like when Mbappe is like back is up, you know, up against the wall, like, you know, he rises, and that World Cup final was proof of that. So I believe that they'll be able to beat Belgium. I actually have it going into overtime and then them winning in overtime.
Before what, do you think, what do you think is going on with it? Well, I mean, we can look at Lukaku, but this Belgium team, we've said this in the past, but their golden era has been over for a little bit now. I thought 2014 was their year. Obviously, it didn't happen then, and then 2018 was even worse. But for this Belgium team, what do you think it'll take for them to potentially upset this French team? Because they got the players, but it just hasn't looked right. And we could look at Lukaku. I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about some of the chances that he's had and just made a blunder of them, to put better words.
I mean, it's tough, man. I think that they have a really good team as well, too. It's not the previous team of, like, previous competitions. Like, they definitely have some new guys in there. And by new guys, I mean still guys that, you know, are playing, like, regularly for their teams. But, you know, Axel Witsel, right? He's not there. Guys like what Vertonghen, you know, guys that were traditionally like used to seeing, like, you know, aren't there anymore. But new guys like Onana, people who have been there for a while, like Tielemans, Doku. I mean, like, you know, these are good players. I think Belgium just has this, like, they have this, like, knack of, like, just playing down to their opponents. Even when they were solid, like, with Hazard and, you know, them at their prime, I always felt like, you know, Iceland could sneak y'all anytime. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's any given time. Like, a team like Iceland could sneak this team, but I don't really know, like, what it's going to take going forward, considering the all-time leading goal scorer for that country and arguably the best player for that country ever is probably going to be, you know, this is probably going to be their last competition. Yeah. I'm not really quite sure where they go from here, bro. To be very honest with you, I think, like, next year, and this may sound crazy, but, like, I think we're going to look at them the same way that we look at Denmark and all these other teams. You know what I'm saying? These teams that, like, we know, we recognize, like, oh, they got some players, but, like, they're not Germany, they're not France, they're not Spain. You kind of just go back to being in that, you know, class. I would even say that, like, shit, if they played Turkey would beat them, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. They have the play. So what do you think their issue is then? Do you think it's just they play down to their opponents? Do you think it's their manager? Do you think it's just like the cohesiveness on the pitch?
Yeah, I think more so is that. I think they have a new manager. So obviously, you know, they're probably not going to be as cohesive as some of these other teams. It's also hard as a new coach to come in, and you know, you got two senior players with the stature of Lukaku and De Bruyne. So, you know, to really implement what you want to do sometimes may be difficult, because you got to also respect and acknowledge that, you know, these guys are probably at the latter parts of their career. So you got to kind of accommodate them a little bit more. But I don't know, man. I really think that they just need a little bit more in the back, and a little bit more reinforcement in the midfield, because, you know, you got to let KDB just kind of just do his thing in the attacking third. And just in order for you to do that, though, you need runners in the box. You know, you need runners. And I just feel as if, like, you know, Lukaku doesn't do that in the front three, and then he doesn't do that in the midfield. So it's just, you got holes everywhere. And, like, your defense isn't as great as it was. Courtois is not in the lineup. So I don't know. Or at least I didn't see Courtois the last game. I don't know if he's been here.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, to be honest.
But I think it's just poor timing, man. Poor timing on their part. They have a lot of things that a lot of new things that they're working through, a lot of change that's happening. But I also just think that out of their control, all the teams that are around, like, now are just kind of better or just kind of right there with them. So it's tough for them, especially going into next year or next tournament. Like, I don't know if Lukaku and De Bruyne will still be around in 2 years. We'll see. At the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I would agree 100%. All right, moving on from Belgium, because they're sad, man. Whenever I think about Belgium, I just think about how Hazard deserved more.
Yeah, that's sad, man.
Yeah, it's sad. But yeah, so the second game would be Portugal versus Slovenia. Mm. As we were just talking about a little bit earlier, Portugal had a very, very strong start to the tournament. You know, two wins in their group stage, and then the loss, obviously, against Turkey to put Turkey through. But or not Turkey. Who was the team name? Georgia, not Georgia. Turkey. But Slovenia had a pretty interesting start. You know, they were another team that had three draws, and the three draws were enough to take them through. Shout out to them getting the draw against England. They also played against Serbia and then Denmark. The Slovenian team, do you see any surprises there, or are we just going with Portugal?
Nah, man, I got to ride with Portugal, man. I think they've looked great in the first two games. I think the last game was kind of a throwaway game for them. I think my biggest concern for Portugal is just, like, what are you going to do, like, with – I don't know. I just feel like Ronaldo just is kind of like – it's one of those things where he's just kind of, like, in the way, kind of. Like, not really, like, in a way, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, man. Like,
so that's my thing. He's actually played well this tournament versus the World Cup, where I feel like he kind of was a hindrance. Yeah. I feel like this tournament, he hasn't been the, you know, the Ronaldo from a decade ago, but I don't see him in the way as much as he was in the World Cup. You know, I feel like the team has learned how to play with him on the pitch and without him. You're starting to see him even be a little bit more selfish. We saw that pass to Bruno in that second match for Bruno to get that goal. The team is still with him. You know, I would say the team is still – I mean, it's Cristiano Ronaldo, bro. He's about to – it's like playing with LeBron at this point. You know what he's done in the past. You know that he's on his way out, but he still has a lot to offer. And so, for me, when I look at Ronaldo, I mean, he almost had that goal this past match from – you know, 35 yards out. It was a great save by the keeper. It was right to him. But I still think Ronaldo has a lot to offer. And where I thought he was a little bit of their Achilles heel during the World Cup, now he's actually able to offer what I think a veteran in his age should be able to offer. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Some people disagree with me, but.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to come to a point where I think it's okay in the last game, right? In the last game, that in the group stage of just like let him just. And I'm not saying by any means that, like, I don't know. I guess I am saying that. I almost feel as if, like, they have a better chance with the Ramos guy coming off the bench. Like,
Goncalo.
A little bit early, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, like, hey, listen, man, you got an hour. And then after that hour hits, Ramos is coming in. Yeah. Because I don't know, man. I'm just looking at, like, you know, Leao hasn't really been anything special. But I also just feel like he's just kind of like, you know, he's a little timid because, like, he feels like he has to feed Ronaldo. So he can't really kind of, you know, be himself. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's still relatively young. All the other guys, I feel like, do well with him, like Bernardo Silva, Bruno, like all of them guys, like, do well. But it's just
because they played, like, with him before. I mean, isn't this Leao's first real tournament?
No, I mean, he was in the World Cup, but even then, I mean, he was coming off the bench though.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is his first, like.
Yeah,
I guess you could call World Cup his first real tournament. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, he started. I think he started a few games then as well too in the World Cup. But
he did.
I would love to see Portugal, you know, go far, potentially win this. I know this is Mike's pick to win the Euros, and I hate to say that because I love Ronaldo, but I don't know, man. Sometimes I just feel as if, like, I don't know, man. You got to start making decisions, especially, like, you know, we're in the round of 16 now. If you lose, you go home. And you saw how lethal Ramos was with the hat trick. So I mean, you know, you win this, you're in the quarters, and then, you know, you got three games left. You just got to win three more games. But yeah, I would love to see him get a Euros to have, you know, cap it off.
Yeah, he's got one. He's already got one.
Yeah, he's already got one. But yeah. That was the Eder goal, right? Eder.
I don't even remember who scored, but
yeah, it was Eder, number 9, the black guy with the braids.
Yeah, you're right. I remember he didn't, like, he got called up in the first 10 minutes because he was hurt. He couldn't go through.
Yeah.
I think he got hurt, like, in the semis, and then he tried to play in the finals, but he just couldn't. But I mean, up until then, you know, he got him there, so you gotta. Yeah. He definitely deserved it. That Portugal team is strong. I personally think they have either the best or the second best roster. You know, when you look top to bottom, who they can bring off the bench, who they're starting with.
Yeah.
They got killers, man. They got killers. And then last day of our group, or our round of 16 matches, Tuesday, July 2nd, the 12 o'clock game, we have Romania versus the Netherlands. Romania's had an very interesting group stage. They beat Ukraine 3-0, and then they lost to Belgium 2-0, and then ended up drawing against Slovakia. To get through in that group. And then the Netherlands, this has been my dark horse the whole tournament. They've also been a little up and down. You know, they started off with a 2-1 win against Poland. They had the 0-0 draw against France, and then they ended up losing to Austria 3-2, in which I think was probably one of the best matches in all of the group stage. I mean, I literally was at home watching this match, like, yo, like, jumping up and down type, like, yeah. Yo, they just scored back, like, yo, Austria gonna get through, like, it was one of those for me. So shout out to Austria, because they needed to win that match in order to go ahead and get through in their group. But Netherlands, I think they have a very strong team. I like this Netherlands team a lot. Xavi Simons has been one of my favorite young players for the last 3 years now. It's finally good to see him, like, on a world stage, because he was one of those guys who I thought, you know, he's going to be up there with, you know, the Florian Wirtz and, you know, the like he's in that next crop under like the Vinny, Haaland, and Mbappe. He's right there with Florian Wirtz. He's right there with Musiala. He's right there with Kvaratskhelia. He's right in like if we're gonna call Mbappe, Haaland, and Vinny like A class. I think he's like B plus, A minus. Like I really think he's
fair.
So I've been rooting for this Dutch team specifically because I want to see him do well. But I think they have a squad. You know, they top to bottom. Virgil's still looking like Virgil. He's had some blunders in the group stage, but he's still probably the best defender in the tournament, I would say. Him and Akanji have looked very, very strong. Memphis is being Memphis. I like seeing Memphis do well also. I don't know. I just like this team.
They got a good bunch of guys you can root for.
Yeah, they got a whole bunch of guys you can root for. So I really want to see them do well. So I'm pulling for them. What do you think about Romania? Another one of those teams that it was good to see them get through. You don't really see Romania on a world stage like this. But do you think they have enough in order to beat this Netherlands team?
No, I don't, man. And it sucks because I feel like besides the Italy game, I feel like I've went with all of the favorites. But I don't see how they do it, man. I think the Netherlands showed that they showed grit. I think that one game, was it the first game where maybe that was the Turkey game where Val Veghorst came off the bench and he scored.
Yeah, no, that was their first against Poland.
Yep. Yeah, that was the winner. Mm-hmm. I mean, Netherlands has always been that team. Like they do well in tournaments, and I mean they did well last World Cup as well too. They just came up against Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, another solid team. Another group of guys where I feel as if like they're all balanced in the sense of like you got some young guys, you got some veterans, you got some guys in their prime right now. Good leadership. They're in a very good spot. I got them going to the semis.
Okay.
So, hopefully they're able to take care of business here. We'll see what happens. They got a bunch of guys that I like watching. Frimpong, Memphis, Virgil, obviously.
And they're doing all this without Frankie. Unfortunately, yeah. He got hurt right before the tournament started. Very, very, very big blow to that team. But yeah. Like you always say, injuries are part of the game and you got to adapt.
Yeah, it happens.
And this Netherlands team, this Dutch team, I'm rooting for them, man. I know I'm being real, real heavy on the Dutch right now, but I really, really do want to see this team do well. They just got a lot of guys, like you said, that you can root for and they have a strong squad, so it'd be good to see them go far in this tournament.
I got to ask you a question, though, before I forget. So you said Xavi Simons. I wanted to ask you about two people, and then this third person came into my head, but I don't know if he's in the right class. So start sub-cell. Xavi Simons, Cole Palmer, Florian Wirtz.
That's actually really good. They're all in the same class. I think they're all the same age. Florian might be 21. I think the other two. I think Florian and Xavi are 21. Cole Palmer 22.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually tough.
For me, there's one that like stands out as like your number one. But
I think I would start Wirtz.
Okay. That me too.
Yeah, I think you would have to start Wirtz. I mean, coming off the ACL and doing what he did this past season for Leverkusen is crazy. I mean, I was a big fan of Wirtz before the ACL tear, and I was really curious to see how he came back off of that. And he is a baller, bro. He's really my guys like to watch in these next coming years. Damn, you really gonna put my boy against Xavi? Oh my gosh.
You gotta go with CP, man.
I would have to bench CP and sell Simons just because I gotta go with my Chelsea lad, man. I like I can't, 40 GA?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah,
in your inaugural season in the Prem?
It speaks for itself.
Man, I can't. I have to. I literally have to go with him. And then, yeah, unfortunately, I got to sell Xavi. But that's not to say that Xavi isn't the type of player that can change a squad. But I still think as far as talent level right now, he's definitely third on that list. But I think he has a very high ceiling. That's the thing. I don't think we've seen everything that he has to offer yet. I think he's one of those guys that from year to year, we'll see him consistently get better, and then he'll hit a peak, you know, in the next couple of years or so.
Yeah, I saw I thought Wits was like the one that's like he's like head and shoulders above them for me, but
yeah.
I was like maybe he would be in, well, I wouldn't even consider him like in the Yamal category. Or maybe. I mean,
it's crazy because Yamal's 16, but what I've seen him do is like
he just continues to ascend to me. Yeah.
It's like you're 16.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to classify you because like there's no one in your age group that's even on your level, you know. So it's bad. Like we kind of have to put you in the next class with these. Like I don't want to say Saka, but Saka's 22. You know,
he's a man. He's a man. Yeah.
So you know, it's crazy, but yeah, man, I think that was those are good comparisons. I mean, that's definitely like the next class of guys that we're going to watch for the next decade or so. And then the last match that we have in our round of 16 is going to be Austria versus Turkey. And this is interesting because
this is a big game. This is a good game.
Very, very big match. I mean, when you look at this Austria team, their only loss in the group stage was to France, and it was off an own goal. And, you know, I watched that match. I watched a good portion of that match. That team looked up for it. You know, they were able to beat Poland 3-1, and then they ended up beating Netherlands in, like I said, I think the best match of this tournament, 3-2. And, like, when you look at this Austria team, there aren't, like, a lot of names that stick out to you. You know, they have Sabitzer. They have there was someone else on their team that
– Arnautovic.
But, you know, shout out Sabi, man. Shout out Sabi. Marcel, that guy – He's a real leader, you know, and unfortunately United wasn't able to keep him, but I think he would have done you guys a very, very, very big beneficial for your team for real, man. It's crazy that you guys weren't able to keep him. It makes no sense.
We couldn't afford it. We couldn't pay $25 million. We couldn't afford him.
Thought that was chump change. Ain't y'all the biggest club in the world?
Hey. You know what I'm saying?
Even some
rich people go to DH Gate.
That's crazy. That's how rich stay rich, huh? Bargain shoppers.
You know what I'm saying? Bargain shoppers, yeah.
That's crazy. But no, this Austria team, and I mean, even for avid football watchers like us, I don't think we looked at this Austria squad like, okay, like they're going to be one of those teams to watch for in this tournament. But this is a crazy dark horse. And then when you look at this Turkey team, I mean, we were talking about them earlier, another squad that doesn't really have – you know, the names, but when you look at the squad themselves, they're gritty, man, and they're willing to fight, and they have techie players as well. Arda Güler, shout out to him, the young boy over at Madrid who's making a name for himself. You know, they have, I don't want to butcher his name again, but the guy that's leading the Golden Boot with 3 goals, 1 assist, you know, he's a player, man. He's able to score goals, and he's doing very, very well up top. He's annoying the defense. I've watched a lot of these Turkey matches just because they've been in line with my schedule when I work from home. And so when I look at this match, for me, this is probably going to be the most interesting matchup of this round of 16. And I'm kind of glad that it's the last one. So everyone kind of has their eyes on it. I think it could go either way. I don't really have a winner. I would probably say, based on what I've seen, I might think that Austria has it just because of the teams that they had to beat to get here, you know, and the way that they played to get here. But it's tough. This one's tough. I don't know.
I know. I know we both said that Turkey is a, you know, really good team, definitely one of the surprises. But I think Austria does have the better team overall. Mm-hmm. I certainly think that they have which to me is probably one of the biggest reasons that Austria is where they are. The manager, you know, Ralf Rangnick, you know, Mr. Rolls Royce himself, the Phantom. Yeah, Ralf Rangnick, man. I think ultimately he's going to be the, you know, the factor that pushes them over, because I feel like player for player, I feel like they're kind of like right there. You know what I'm saying? I think the best player on the field is probably Turkish.
Mm-hmm.
Between that Kognahalu
and Arda.
And Arda.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning towards Arda, but yeah, I think Ralf Rangnick is going to help them get through. And I read something interesting today. You know, David Alaba obviously is injured, but, you know, he's getting his coaching on as well, too. He's helping with the coaching staff. So for him to be there and for his, leadership and experience, I think that that's huge for them. So agreed. I got them be in Turkey.
Agreed. And honestly, I wanted to say that shout out to him, because he easily could have stayed at home. You know, he easily could have just been like, you know what? I'm not playing. Let me just. But for him to actually go on the pitch and be there, and you could see the happiness in his eyes for his squad. You know, when, you know, they were on top of the group, they won their group. And for him to be there every step of the way and kind of just cheering them on and letting them know, like, hey, we can do this. Hey, we can do this. I think it's with him and with Rangnick. You know, we were kind of talking about this earlier. What do you think that England needs, or what do we think that the U.S. needs? And as a manager, you know, the right manager can change a whole lot, you know, and for them to have a manager and a veteran like Alaba on the bench, kind of tweaking and telling them where to go and kind of seeing the game from a different level. It's going to be interesting to watch this Austria team as they go through, you know, this knockout stage.
Yeah, for sure. Credit to them. All tournament, I feel like they've been solid. So, hopefully they can continue their run. But, I mean, I wouldn't be mad seeing Turkey go through either. But I think one of these two teams have the capabilities of playing spoiler to one of the bigger teams. 100%. So,
100%.
They got to be careful. I got them into the I got the winner of this game in the semis as well.
Interesting. Hold on. Let me see what happens. So if they get through, they would play
on the England side, right?
Yeah, but they would play the winner of Netherlands versus Romania. So that would be their.
I think they could sneak. They could sneak them.
That'd be their quarters.
Like, if I was one of the smaller teams, there's a few teams where I'd be like, I wouldn't mind seeing y'all. Netherlands would be one of those teams. I'd be like, give me Netherlands.
Yeah.
If Belgium won, give me Belgium. Facts. But I think, like, the only team that I really wouldn't want to see right now is Germany and Spain. Even France, I would be like, well, just as long as we can keep him up top, you know what I'm saying? Like, just as long as we can keep an eye on him. But yeah, Spain and Germany are the two that I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I think even Portugal, bro. I think Portugal could get snuck 100%. Don't get me started on England.
No, we're not talking England. We know who they are.
No, but I think that's all the games, correct?
Yeah, that's all the games. That rounds out our round of 16 right there.
Okay. Well, I think on Monday USA also plays Uruguay, so we can do a quick one for that. Who do you have, Uruguay or USA?
Man, I got Uruguay. I just saw them smack Bolivia 5-0.
Yeah. Oh, damn! It's 5-0.
Yeah, it's over, but wow. It was 5-0. They peppered them in the end.
They're just warming up.
As much as Weah's an idiot, he's honestly one of our better players, and I feel like without him on the pitch, we're at a huge loss.
Yeah, bro, he's missing a game too. Like, that's the crazy part. It's like, not only did you get sent off, you're missing a game, bro.
It's sad. It's on. And as a Liberian, you know, I look at my and I'm like, my man, what are you doing? It's just like, my man, what are you doing?
Yeah, bro. Sad. Bro, he must have. I would have loved to be in the locker room with him. I would have been like, bro, what did he say? Because you know, bro. You feel me? What did he say? What did he say, bro?
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? If he didn't say anything about, you know, Mom Dukes or a sibling, then hey. Oh, no, man. He got the Zidane treatment. Two great tournaments, honestly, to kind of keep, you know, to kind of give us our football fix for the summer. And it's crazy because at the end of by the end of Copas, I think preseason starts, right? Well, I mean, I think like for our club teams, like I think some teams have to report to training like here soon, but
yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but it'll be August because you're right. I mean, it's like end of August, so
yeah. So, football's summer's gonna be moving quick, and football's gonna be back here before we know it. And I mean, we also have the opportunity of going to watch Man City and Chelsea play in Columbus, so that'll be fun. I asked Yasser. I said, "Hey, are you gonna go with us, or are you coming?" And he said, "Absolutely not."
For what?
The Man City Chelsea game. Man City, like, Chelsea. I was like, "What? You're not coming?"
I ain't gonna hold you. I've never seen Chelsea play live. I might cry.
Yeah, Mike has been before. Mike went one time, but I've never seen a Premier League team. Well, I watched the Columbus Crew play West Ham, one time. So, like, I've seen West Ham play, but, I've never seen two Premier League teams, play. But he said they could be playing in my backyard, and I would close the shutters. I was like, man, if that isn't a Yasser answer, then. I don't know.
Hey, I respect it, though. I respect it. I fully respect it, bro.
He said I would close the curtains. I was like, bro, I'm literally going to watch both my ops. I mean, for you guys, I'm not even trying to talk shit, but like for you guys, I think like most of your players should be there, right? Because I mean, you don't really have like. I mean, Caicedo won't be there. Cole Palmer won't be there. Malagusto probably won't be there. But, I mean, Reece James will be there. What?
Malo will be there.
Malo's not going to the Olympics?
Oh, actually, I didn't even think about that. I forgot about the Olympics.
Yeah, he's going to
the Olympics. Yeah, he probably will be at the Olympics. You're right.
But Nkuku?
Nkuku will probably be at the Olympics. Yeah.
Oh, damn. He's young enough still?
He's like 23 or 24.
Oh damn! So he's one of the OGs.
Yeah, hold on. Let me check.
He gonna be rocking the captain's armband if he goes.
You know.
but most of your guys, I feel like, should be there. Like Modue. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna go to the Olympics or not. But
let me look at this guy. Christopher Nkuku. No, he's 26. So yeah, he should be there. He can't go to the Olympics. So this is my thing. It'll be fun to see them, but I don't know how much of I don't know how much of that preseason match is going to tell about my Chelsea team.
Yeah. I think it's more so just to kind of see some of the guys that potentially could get chances or probably just need to get loaned out. But I felt like last year's preseason was the preseason to go to. because the World Cup was in, you know, like
the winter, yeah.
The winter. So like everybody kind of had like it was everyone's first like, wow, this is preseason. Like there is no games, there is no competition.
Yeah,
it's just we have the summer off until, you know, we come back. So, but no, man, good episode. Do you have anybody you want to shout out?
Nah, shout out Balogun.
Okay,
shout out Balogun.
Yeah, I was gonna say shout out Ralph Ragnick. Yeah, and you know what? I did want to briefly touch on this before we go. Sounds like Ruud van Nistelrooy is going to be coming to Man United to coach.
Massive.
Alongside another coach that I'm blanking on his name, but I saw a video of him and
that guy.
Yeah, he looked pretty pretty intense. But I think Ruud coming in is going to be huge for the coaching staff. There's been a few talks about a few of the guys leaving, possibly McLaren, but I think having Ruud coming in is going to be huge. So I'm very excited, and hopefully he can make an impact on the team. But and as soon as I start talking about Man United, Young Trendy comes in here, Eric Ten Hag out still. But see, even him, he would tell you that Van Nistelrooy coming in is a great move for us. It's a great move for us.
I agree.
Yeah, bro. Credibility, someone with credibility, someone that you can respect, someone that you know has done it in the shirt that you're wearing. So I think it's gonna be massive. I agree. It's gonna be a great move. And I mean, we'll see, man. We just need the players to buy in. But that's for another episode. We gotta do our season recap/preview here. Maybe we could wait until first week off.
The boys are back.
After the boys are back, yeah, from holidays. So, yeah, man, good episode tonight. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.